you'll get when Joel stands up. It doesn't matter what he feels, what he senses, what he's going through. He picks that guitar up and starts worshiping and everything changes. Because his eyes are on the Lord. And as we will worship, and I've always said of Joel, that you'll always have faith when he leads worship. Because he will not back down to unbelief. He will not step down from the circumstances. He's going to declare faith. And as he was leading the team, and we were all worshiping today, I was deep in my sense of worship to Jesus, and I saw a boxing ring. And it wasn't Jesus in the corner. It was the devil and his kingdom. And I saw a bell ring for the next round. And I saw the devil shake his head. No more. No more. No more. But the bell kept ringing. But he wouldn't come out of the corner. And the camera turned. And it wasn't Jesus in the other corner. It was the church. And Jesus said, when you praise me, it's not just heaven that knows you're doing it, but all hell knows you're doing it. And when you praise me, despite your feelings, despite your circumstance, when your eyes are on him, he said it's as if you stand up and will not back down. It's as if you know God never changes. God never fails. And he says, you need to be known in heaven, but you need to be known in hell. And when you are worshiping, church, when you are praising him, when you are standing in faith in the midst of the storm, he doesn't want to come out the corner. Because last time he came out, you beat him. The enemy is defeated. God knows it. The devil knows it. Does the church know it? And I encourage you today to realize that when you worship, you've entered into the victory. You've entered into the ceremony, the praise, the war is over, the battle's finished. And therefore the devil just is dismissed, because you resist the devil every time you praise him. You resist sickness every time you praise him. You resist guilt and fears every time you praise him. So my friends, I encourage you, stand in your faith and declare God is good and never changes. Do that this morning, just once, stand up. Everyone who wants to stand up and say it. Just declare it out loud. Just declare it out loud to the spirit realm. They need to hear it this morning. They need to know what you believe. Do you believe God is good and his love never changes?
Jesus, King Jesus.
King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here.
Oh, your kingdom come, your will be. Oh, King Jesus,
King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and sky.
Oh, revival, Lord,
we want to see your kingdom here. Oh.
Spirit, break out. Chains, Lord, set us free in this place, Lord, for your glory. And take the chains, Lord, and set us free. Fill this place, Lord, for your glory. And take the chains, Lord, set us free. Fill this place, Lord, for your glory. Oh, la 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 la, proto shombra pasa rapa ta ta ta, pos hombre te kata pese. Oh, rapa pa shondoro. Oh.
let your walls down this morning. Let the Holy Spirit break through in your life this morning. Submit all to Him. Trust in Him for all things. Lay your life down before Him. If you don't normally lift your hands in praise, lift your hands in praise this morning. If you don't speak in tongues, speak in tongues this morning. Father, I pray a blessing on each one, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, I pray that they would just, people would just know a real blessing in their lives, Father. Father, they'll be set free. Father, they'll be free in you indeed, Lord. That, Father, be nothing else in their life will matter, Lord, just because you are at the center of everything they do. Break through, Lord, I pray. Touch people's lives, I pray. Holy Spirit, come and touch each one. Yeah, refresh us, Lord. Revive us, renew us, restore us. Kuranda sunadare onda sunadare onda. Branda mashule mashila mashala mashila. Shisti onda makuli makila makala mahaja. Kuranda sunadare onda sunna. Kuranda rayonda rayonda sunna rayonda. Kuranda rayonda sunna tayonda. Kuranda rayonda sunna rayonda sunna. Randa maranda sunda yanda sunda. Kuranda rayonda sunna tayonda varayonda. Kuranda rayonda sunna yanda. Kuranda rayonda rayonda sunna rayonda. Randa mashule mashila mashala. Alava shikum shimakala. Kuranda sunna rayonda. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Give you all the praise this morning.
Just as we're worshiping, I believe that God gave me a word that the Good Samaritan, when he met the man who was wounded, he poured oil into the wounds. If you've got a wound that's hurting a lot, let the oil of the Holy Spirit come in. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit come into the wound. Let the oil of the Holy Spirit come in and soothe and heal. Amen.
Church, I believe the Lord would say to you today, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. But church, He's not going to just barge in. He is only going to come in to those hearts that open, that say, Lord, I'm dry. Lord, I'm tired. Lord, I have disbelief. Lord, my faith is waning. Open your heart and receive from Him today. The Spirit is here. Do not let this moment pass.
If you're dry this morning, if you're weary this morning, just come to Him. Just come to Him. It's not difficult. He's always there. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always there for us. Just give everything to Him. It's all He wants. God is good.
All the time. All the time. God is good. He's unchangeable. He's unshakable. He's unmovable. God is good. All the time. Thank you, brother. I think I'm going to let Wynn come and share with us. I think we're just going to move into that. You okay with that? Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Going to get him. Thank you. Are we on? Good morning, everyone. My stepson and his family are moving on Tuesday. So the last few weeks has been all about packing everything up as anybody's moved. You know what it's like? It's amazing. You go into a house and you think there's so much space in it. I don't know. I got empty cupboards everywhere. You haven't been there 3 years and every cupboard is full. Yeah, thank you. Every cupboard gets full. And so when you come to move, you realize half the job is getting rid of all the stuff that you collected that you don't need because you never used it in the 3 years. But what's fascinating me is that although they're moving because this house that they're living in isn't big enough, doesn't have the facilities they want, and is this wrong and is that wrong, they started talking about all the good things that have happened in the house and all the good things that God's done in their house and all the wonderful things that when they moved in and how the baby was born there and all this. And so there's this, when you move from somewhere to another place, there's almost a little bit of not wanting to let go, because you think if you're letting go of something, it's you're letting go of memories. It's a bit like grief, you know. I understand what Joel was saying. When my first wife died, you begin to struggle to remember everything about her exactly as she was. It begins to get a bit more distant and a bit more distant. And you begin to start laughing. After a few months, you begin to start laughing and you're not crying all the time and you're not worried about being on your own all the time. But there's a times. It's change that feels uncomfortable. I'm sure, I don't know how many times this worship team has led worship, but just a different style can make people uncomfortable. Because it's different. That's all it is. It's just different. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean it's bad. It doesn't mean it's better or worse. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means it's different. And change is actually good. You change all the time. Do you know that? Every cell in your body has gone in 7 years because your cells keep reproducing and flushing out the old ones. That's why you keep having energy. Do you know why you get wrinkles? Because that process slows down. As you get older, the process of change slows down. And that's so true of church. I go to churches where there was once a move of God. And when you sit in there and you listen to them talk and you watch their worship or the songs they sing, you no longer hear faith. You no longer hear joy anymore. You don't see this sense of victory. You don't see this sense of purpose in their life. They've just slowed down so much, they've solidified. You know, a fossil? A fossil once lived. Look what happens when the dying process comes in. Thank God for faith. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Father, who came and resides in every born-again Christian. Any person that invites Christ is inviting the Holy Spirit. Well, if you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, you have an eternal spirit. And an eternal spirit doesn't die. Yeah. Yeah. It never changes. We sung about it. God cannot change. He's always on fire. People say to me, because I come from Wales, they talk about praying for revival. I said, can I tell you, when you're praying for revival, it actually, it's not a really good thing, is it? It's an indictment on the church. We went cold. The fire went out. So we're asking for the fire to be returned. But God is fire. He lives in that environment. He is always on fire. He's always in that place that we call revival. That's his natural home address. He lives there constantly all the time. The only person that moved is me. Hello? Am I preaching to anyone? Because if you don't want me to preach to you, I'll preach to the walls, because the Bible says the walls will cry out. When the Holy Spirit is missing in our life, there's no fire. Problem is, it happens so slowly, we don't notice. And we forget until a radical comes along. And when a radical Christian comes along, you know what a radical is, don't you? Just somebody who loves Jesus more than you. Somebody who's on wilder than you in their praise. Somebody who comes into church and doesn't realize you're religious. And they begin to lift their hands and they begin to shout. And we go, he's a bit over the top. No, that's not over the top. It's us that's the issue. We've gone cold. Can I tell you, if we could just, and I wish we could do this one day. Jesus, make it happen. That we're all here one day and suddenly, every single one of us, zapped. You know, like Star Wars. Or Star Trek, sorry. Zoop, up we go, and we get straight into heaven. Do you know what you'll see? You'll see a throne in the middle of heaven with one sitting on it. And you'll see the sound, you'll see the multitudes, the myriads of angels and people who've gone before us, saints who've gone before, people who were born again, gone before us, all the ones that love Jesus, gone before us. And they're all there in their multitudes, and they're singing, and they're shouting, and they're rejoicing, and they're dancing. Guess who's the wildest one? Right down the front, right in front of his Father. Guess who's the wildest one? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the wildest, craziest worshiper the whole of creation has ever known. Because he is not limited by man's opinion of him. He's not bound by the traditions of man. He just exudes his love towards his Father. He knows no boundaries. He knows no shackles and chains. And we sang it this morning. Can I tell you, did it irritate you when the team kept singing the same thing over and over? Because if it does, it's because you don't like it. You don't like the fact it's true. And yet that's the way faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. It's almost like, how many times do I have to hear it until you hear it? You know? Sometimes we need somebody to do that to us. Get us to sing the same thing over and over and over until it knocks down that wall, knocks down that barrier, knocks down that nonsense, that lukewarmness that we've just allowed ourselves to slumber into. Are you glad Jesus turns up? Yeah. Have you ever been offended by Jesus? If you haven't, you haven't known him. Because Jesus offends everybody eventually, even his best friends. Turned to Peter one day and just said, get out of my face, you devil. That's really nice. That's a really nice thing to say to your best friend. I'm preaching better than you're shouting amen at the moment. Can you breathe a bit louder to help me? You know, you're awake on a Sunday morning. Okay, turn with me. I want you to turn, sorry, let me just find the passage. John 4, verse 1. But while you're looking at that, because of what happened this morning, I want to read this passage of scripture, which is in John's gospel just before this passage that we're going to look at. Oh, it's moved. When Jesus began his ministry, he came out of the wilderness. He went into his local synagogue, if you remember. And it was the day that this passage of scripture was to be read. Jesus didn't choose this. This is divine timing. Jesus walked into the synagogue on the day this passage was set by all the synagogues, by the temple system. They were all to read the Bible, like the Anglican Church does it today. Every Sunday, the same scriptures are read out all across the country. And Jesus' synagogue has the same pattern. But somehow it's Jesus' time to go in there and read it. So the timing is perfect. Jesus goes in and they hand him the scroll of Isaiah, where Isaiah prophesies this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Is everybody's eyes fixed on Jesus this morning? Or are you half fixed on Jesus and half fixed on the bank because the rates are going up? Are you half fixed on Jesus or the bad news you had? Are you half fixed on Jesus or the eyes are partly on the physical thing that you're dealing with, the emotional thing? Are your eyes totally fixed on Jesus? This is the very first thing we know Jesus preached. And the whole statement revolves around that one thing, that when he sat down, all eyes inside that building were fixed on him. And when he had done his task, which was to get them to fix on him, who is he? The Word of God. The truth. Not part truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He is the living truth. If you want to know what truth is, look at Jesus. And the whole place is fixed on him. And if when Isaiah prophesied this, he prophesied it in the future. There was coming a day when this would come to pass. And if Jesus had sat down and left it there, it would still be futuristic today. But he didn't. He carried on one line more. He said, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And they got mad with him. Why? Because if anything's in the future, it's okay. But when somebody says it's now, how dare you? You see, they all knew what Jesus was saying. He's saying, I'm the one that Isaiah was prophesying about. And I'm telling you that right now, today, if I'm in this room and your eyes are fixed on me, this is not futuristic. It's now. It's right now. The Spirit of the Lord is here to set captives free, to bring recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty all who are oppressed, and proclaim the favorable day of the Lord. The Lord doesn't have bad to give you. He only has good. Gwenda and I don't know if you know who Oral Roberts was, but Oral Roberts in the 1930s was the key person that God used in the whole of America and around the world to bring the healing movement back into the church. And he was a close personal friend of our spiritual dad, Pastor Ron, over in California. And we were over with Pastor Ron having a great day. And he said, tomorrow, I'm taking you to meet Oral Roberts. And we went, oh, wow, that'd be fantastic. So when we walked in the room, we were introduced to Oral and told him we were from Wales. And he said, oh, Wales, were you at my meeting in Newport? You're younger. He starts talking to me and talking to us, and he says this incredible storyline. He said, you know what, Wynn? When I first started the healing revival, I had a tent. We got this tent made, big, big old marquee tent. We set it up just outside of a town where I'd been before to preach in the church. And he said, and the first night it was filled with Christians. They came from everywhere to this special occasion because it was new. Nobody was using tents. And so it was fantastic. The place was full. The worship was wonderful. And he said, I got up and I turned to Psalms and where it says, the God is good. And everyone, amen. So he said, I said it again. And they all said, amen, even louder. It was wonderful. They all said, amen, God is good. And he said, all I said after that was, well, if God is good, the devil is bad. If God is good and sickness is bad, then sickness is not of the devil and God wants to heal you. He said, they ran out the tent and set it on fire. Rather than change and accept the truth, they burnt his tent down to drive him out of town. Jesus comes to set the captive free. If you're captive, it's linked to being blind. You can't see the truth. You're blind. You're held captive by something that's not true. But Jesus, being the truth, comes into your arena, and you have to understand that he's going to tell you the truth. And he's going to tell you something you don't want to hear, or something you've never, ever understood. He's going to come straight in, and sometimes it upsets our traditions. And it upsets our comfort zones. But comfort zones can become like a grave. We get the same old, same old, same old. And before you know where we are, we're in a trench. And the only difference between a trench or a rut and a grave is its length. We need the Holy Spirit to ignite us. We need the Holy Spirit to do something he's never been able to do with us before. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to move in our life in such a way he can come into where you are and lead you out. But you've got to let go of all the restraints. You've got to let go of all the excuses, all the fears, all the phobias, all the stuff that's held you where you are. You've got to accept it's not giving me the liberty of the Holy Spirit that I can read in my Bible I'm supposed to have. Therefore, it's the truth that's going to set me free. And Jesus is so wonderful, he'll come right to where you are. This was futuristic until Jesus said it. The moment Jesus said, it's now fulfilled, the prison cell that Isaiah could see, the door was flown open. The chains were broken. There was nothing keeping the people inside except familiarity. And the preaching of the gospel is to just stand outside the door and say, you don't have to stay in there, you can come out. Can you get up? Mm-hmm. Gwen, can you get up? Can you move forward? Mm-hmm. Was that hard?
Yep.
Yeah. That's about as hard as it is to get saved. Because all it is getting up and moving towards Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's not going to come and live and keep you in bondage. He doesn't live where there's bondage. He lives where there's liberty. And if he's in your life, there's only one reason he's in it. It's to bring you more and more liberty from the things that you're scarred with or held captive to. I've got 15 minutes. So read this passage of scripture, and I'm going to give you 2 points, and you can take them home and Bible study them. Is that good? Turn to the person alongside you right now and just say, open up your ears. You're going to hear something. And turn to them and say, it's even louder, it's going to be great. It's going to be good. John 4:1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but he needed to go through Samaria. Can I just put a pause button just a second? The English language sometimes betrays the truth of the Greek. The original writing was in Greek. And when they use the original writings, it doesn't mean Jesus had to go that way because it was the only way to get from where he was to where he wanted to go. It meant he was compelled. He was driven from within himself to go that way. This is not logistics. This is movement by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is moving him, saying, I need you to go through that place. So realize Jesus is being led to something called miraculous. But But he needed to go through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, thus sat at the well, and it was about the sixth hour, that's midday. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than Jacob, you who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered and said, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal and everlasting life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." Pause button number two. Now you'd think there's about 12 different answers that Jesus could have given. There are 12 different points of conversation Jesus could have had at this point, because she is thirsting. She is saying, "Are you greater than Jacob? Are you..." All these theological things. Jesus changes the total conversation. He doesn't stay on the conversation she's on. He just asks her, "Go fetch your husband." She could have stood there and gone, "What's that got to do with anything? Well, that's not the conversation. We're not talking about husbands or wives. We're talking about water. We're talking about you telling me living water. I'm telling you I'm thirsty. Where can I get it? Are you better than Jacob?" And you're changing the subject completely. No, this is the real subject. It doesn't make sense in the English, but it does if you understand where Jesus is going with this woman. Jesus is led there by the Holy Spirit. He's only come there for one reason, and it's to set the captive free and bring recovery of sight to the blind, set at liberty all who are oppressed of the devil, and proclaim the favorable day of the Lord right now. Today, he knows he's going there. And when he's by the well, he is waiting for the Holy Spirit to move. And the Holy Spirit does. He draws the woman out from her normal, everyday, mundane situation. She comes out with a bucket. Well, maybe two. One depends how strong she was. But it could be one on the head, one on the shoulder. It could be over a pole over her shoulders. It doesn't matter. She's coming to do the most mundane thing she knows. Here I go. I'm going to have to go and get some water for cooking, water for drinking, water for washing, water for whatever. I do this 3-4 times every day. It's a mundane thing. Yes, it's a mundane thing until Jesus is sitting at the well. Because there's a timing of God involved in all our lives. And there comes a day when he draws you out. Jesus is led, but Jesus can also draw. A woman's being drawn because she doesn't even realize he's been led there. He draws her through what? Natural situation, a natural thirst, a natural need, draws her out of the city to where he is. Can I tell you this morning, the Holy Spirit was reaching out, drawing people, drawing, saying, "Will you come? Will you come with me? Will you come? Where am I taking you? I'm taking you to a place from the mundane turns to the miraculous. The mundane of today will turn to eternal miracles, because Jesus doesn't do a miracle in your life and they say goodbye. It's a miracle lifestyle. It's total miracle. I'm telling you, if there's a people group on the planet that the world should be running to, it's called the church, because she's supposed to be the most miraculous company of people on planet Earth, because she's filled with the blood, with the knowledge of Jesus, that she's filled with the same Spirit that raised him from the dead. She's filled with the gifts of the Spirit. She's filled with eternal life. She's filled with the glory of God. Have I preached you silent?
No.
The woman's answer was, I have no husband. And Jesus said, well, you have said well, I have no husband, because you've had five husbands. Just picture the woman, five husbands, and one who you are with now is not your husband. And this, you spoke rightly. Can I tell you, Jesus was waiting for her to come to the truth. It's the truth that sets you free. He is the truth, but you've got to accept the truth. He's challenged her on the very thing that's stopping her. She wants this living water. Then come to the truth. Because it's the truth that's the well of truth. Who leads you into all that Jesus says. He leads you into all liberty. He leads you into all the miracles. He leads you into everything that God has provided for you. But you have to come to the place of truth. You can't get saved until you know you're a sinner. You can't get healed till you confess you're sick. Hello? Yeah. Unless you say, I'm broke. I've tried every which way to get out of this mess financially. I can't. Until you accept that, you'll never ever realize Jesus can change it to prosperity. Until you accept you have an anxiety issue and you bring it to Jesus, you'll never know the peace that passes all understanding and drives out every fear. It's the truth. But you haven't come to the truth. I have to come to the truth. He brings this woman to the truth. Why? Because he wants to answer her heart's desire. He wants to answer ours this morning. He wants to do something in us that's so ridiculously good. It's ridiculously easy to him. It seems to be ridiculously hard for us to come to the truth. Watch now. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. She didn't need a degree to work that one out, did she? Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. She's changed the subject. See, we don't see between the lines. They didn't write everything that happened. They just write the bullet points. But this woman changed the language. She changed the narration. She changed the concept and the conversation. Why? Because somewhere in between the conversation, she understood what Jesus was talking about was intimacy. Because worship is intimacy. The oldest word in your Bible for worship is to kiss with affection the one that you love. Jesus knew her issue was in her affections. That's why she had five husbands and not one of them satisfied her. Well, we could have told her that in the beginning, couldn't we? Sweetheart, you don't need to get married and go through all that for five times to find out no man is ever going to meet your deepest need called intimacy. Most of the time, men don't even know you have a slot called intimacy. They live from their head up. Hello? Yeah? So Jesus is bringing to her truth. Now she doesn't want to even get married. Now she's going to live with the guy thinking that's got to be better. I've tried the other way five times, so let's try it this way. And still she's not satisfied. Jesus knows she's not satisfied because she's talked about having this living water. Nothing in life is satisfying her. Give me this living water. That I don't have to come back to this natural well to draw. Let me have that living water that springs up within me, that no matter where I go, I always feel alive. I always feel refreshed. I don't have a natural thirst because you've given me a heavenly drink. My God, the narrative is wonderful. Look on, nearly finished. Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem will we worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship who we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all these things. He just did. He's just done that. And she still didn't get it. Why? Because of the past. because of the teaching she'd had, the religious upbringing she had, because of all the mess. All she knew was there was coming a Christ who would tell us all these things. And Jesus is telling her all those things. And so he says, just in case you were confused, Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. We sang about breakthroughs this morning. We thought sang about barriers. We sang about chains that hold you to the past, chains that hold you to situations you don't want to be a prisoner of. Yeah? Can I tell you that in India, I heard this a long, long time ago. I don't know how I heard about it, but I heard about a missionary going into a village in India. And in the middle of the village was this huge post. All the houses, or the, you know, the huts were built around it. And this huge post, and there was an opening right around in the middle of the village. And walking around by the pole was an elephant. It was only a little elephant. It was a babyish one. He'd been there for about 6-9 months, and he had a chain on his ankle, but the chain wasn't connected to the post. But the elephant kept going around, and of course, every time he went around, you could hear the sound of the chain going around the little area of land in between all the huts. And he was standing. The missionary was standing by the chief of the village and said, "Can you explain that? Why have you got an elephant who's not chained, but he's got chains on him, and he's walking around?" And he said, "Oh no, he used to be chained. When he's tiny, we don't want them to wander off. We want them to stay with us so that they help us do the work and carry the loads, all the things that we need in the village." So he said, "If you don't chain them up, they'll just wander off back to where they came from." So he said, "When they're small, we put a chain in them and chain them to the post. And the length of the chain is exactly the same. It goes around in a circle and around in a circle. And all day, every day, that little baby elephant will go around and around, back and forth. But it will never go further because it can feel the chain pulling it back because it's connected to the post." He said, "But after a number of months, you don't need the chain, so we cut it." He said, "But the elephant doesn't realize it's free, so it doesn't run away. It stays within that." Do you know, when I heard that story, I thought of me. I thought of me being a born-again believer. That Jesus has set me free, because he sets every captive free. But because of the memories, because of the lifestyle in the past and all that I was used to before, sometimes I walk around and I still used to think I was bound. I was still held captive by the works of the devil or the works of sin. And the Lord had to show me through that one little story, when you're just like the baby elephant, I don't come and cut the chain and leave the chain on your ankle to make you believe you're still bound. I set you free, and free indeed. There is no chain holding you anywhere to the past. But because it's been there for so long, we have to get someone to show us from the Word of God over and over and over, you no longer need to be in that prison. You no longer need to be in that cell. You no longer need to be chained to the past memories of failures and phobias and upbringings and the experiences. Like, this woman has had 5 husbands. I don't know what you know about this woman, because I know nothing about her. I just know she's a Samaritan woman. But she's had 5 husbands and she's still not satisfied. That tells me something about the woman. It tells me that she doesn't know what genuine love is. Because if you know what genuine love is, you will marry someone that gives you genuine love. Because you will draw, birds of a feather flock together. You will draw to yourself a person who will fulfill your heart's desire. But she couldn't. She must have had a warped upbringing, a dysfunctional upbringing, because she married a man and then he divorces. You realize a woman could not divorce in those days. A man could. If she turned the cup around the wrong way, he could divorce her. If she served him a plate of food and the plate was cracked, he could divorce her. But the woman couldn't. He could beat her like a dog, but she couldn't divorce him. So the only thing she could do is make his life a living hell. so he would divorce her. Five times. I think this woman is covered with so many scars, filled with so much pain and memories from the past failures, the past words, the past experience, over and over and over, and that she no longer, five proposals, five covenant promises, five marriage ceremonies, five promises from the man to love her, cherish her. I hope you realize our marriage covenant in most services today comes from the book of Numbers. A promise to love you, keep you, be faithful unto you till you die, to provide and protect for you. And she's had that five times from five different men, and not one has remained so faithful that it's won her over. So now she's gone from that. I don't want another person to say what he's not going to do. I don't want another broken promise. I'll just live with this person. Which is what's happening in the world and in the church world more and more and more. Guess why? Because it seems we don't know how to keep the promise and understand what the covenant is to provide it for our families. So she's in that mess. But she doesn't understand the one who's talking to her is the very one who knows what perfect love is and is going to demonstrate it for her. He's the one who can be faithful because there's not an ounce of unfaithfulness in Jesus. He was so faithful to his promise to God that he took death upon a cross to keep his promise. His blood that we sang about today, so that which had no sin in it whatsoever, because Jesus was not born of the woman, as it were. He was born in the woman. He was born of God. And this is God incarnate in the flesh. Therefore, there is no sin in his blood. And for when the blood of Jesus was shed, and you accept the sacrifice on his, of his blood for your sin, it obliterates your sin and it removes it as far as the east is from the west. Come on, you're a genius. Well, that's what they all tell me anyway. The truth, yeah. How far is the east from the west?
Very long way.
Yeah. Can you work it out?
No.
It's literally not meant for you to work it out. It's meant for you to understand something simple. It's so far, you'll never see it again.
Yeah.
It's gone so far, you can't see it, and you won't see it again, because it's never going to be brought to your memory by God. It's never going to be brought to his memory by the Holy Spirit. Nobody in heaven is going to say, excuse me, just remember what wind was like. Heaven doesn't do that to you. The devil will do that to you. Religion will do that to you. Stinking thinking Christians will do that to you. But the Bible doesn't do it to you. Jesus doesn't do it to you. The Father and the Holy Spirit don't do it to you. And nor should the preaching of the gospel ever condemn you. It should be a message that God will bring Jesus into your life to break every shackle, to wipe away every stain, and to set you so free. Like free as if you never, ever sinned. This woman's miracle was simply the other side of a barrier. He was a Jew, she was a Samaritan. And Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. In fact, they hate them. I don't know about today, but in those days, they hated them. They despised them. All because of one sin about 1,500 years before. One sin of one person, and they held the grudge for 1,500 years, even to the time when Jesus was trying to teach them that we are to reach the Samaritans. They would not forgive the Samaritans whatsoever. But it's really fascinating. Right after the sermon in the synagogue, Jesus is led of the Spirit. The first place to go to is Samaria. He goes to where there's brokenness. He goes to where there's mess. He goes to where somebody doesn't understand what the love of God is like. He goes to someone who's found themselves in the eyes of men to be worthless, when in the eyes of God, she's priceless. You sang it this morning. I didn't tell the worship team what I was going to preach. This is the Holy Spirit trying to reach you. This is the Holy Spirit trying to refashion your thinking. It's fascinating. The Jews would have nothing to do with the Gentiles till they were hungry. Because it says the disciples went into the village to get food. You see, you break the barriers when you're hungry enough. You break the theological barriers when you're hungry enough. You break the cultural thing when you're hungry enough. You break the color thing when you're hungry enough. You break the every barrier when you hunger for the truth. When you're hungry for what God wants to do in your life, you'll break every barrier. You don't care. You don't care what it costs. You don't care what it takes. You don't care where you have to go to. You don't care what you have to receive. You don't care when the Holy Spirit speaks the truth to you. You don't care that it hurts for a moment, because you want the truth, because it's the truth that sets you free. Wow. Just moments before Jesus ascended into heaven, he turns to his disciples and said, stay in the upper room. You'll get baptized in my spirit. And you'll have power to preach the gospel and do the things I did, all in the power of the Spirit. And when that happens to you, you will preach the gospel in Jerusalem. Oh, familiarity. Judea, well, still familiar. Samaria. What do you mean, Samaria? And to the utter ends of the world. Whoa, hang on a second. You mean we've got to take the gospel of forgiveness to the Samaritans? Yes. And I won't forgive them unless you do. Because if you keep the grudge, you'll never know what it is to walk in total freedom. You've got to forgive them. The Samaritans just represent anybody that's a people group that's not acceptable in your eyes. But then he goes on one step further, and to the uttermost parts of the world, the Gentiles. These are Jews. The gospel's just for the Jews. No, Jesus never told them that. Jesus never showed them that. Jesus showed them the gospel of the kingdom of God is for all people everywhere, sinners and saints, black and white, young and poor. The ones that fit our comfort zone and the ones that don't. Can I tell you the only way that can happen is when we let the love of Jesus, when we let the love of the Father fill our heart to such a degree that the Spirit of the Father starts to move in us, because Jesus cannot fail to love anyone, even the one that was nailing him to the cross. Father, forgive them. They just don't know what they're doing. He didn't condemn them. He didn't condemn this woman. You won't find Jesus condemn anyone. The only people Jesus had problems with was the religious people. And the only people we should have problems with is religious people who are trying to keep us saved, satisfied, and stuck. Would you stand with me a moment? I want you to do something before I just hand back to the guys. Hold the chair in front of you, because I know what you like. Hold it. Yeah, well. I hope you balance. Shake a leg. Shake the other one. Oh, anyone hear a chain? Do you hear any chains? Can you shake your hands? Turn to someone and say, my God, I'm free. I'm free. Guess what? You've always been free. You just lived a lie. You believed a lie that you weren't free, but you are free. You're free to come into the presence of the Father as much as you want in any day, any time, any situation. Has nothing to do with the way you feel. Has nothing to do with your past, because he's blotted out the past. He's given you an eternal, brand new life if you're born again. But if you're like the Samaritan woman this morning, you still need convincing. And he will draw you to the truth. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can do it right now. And the moment you receive him as your Lord and Savior, boom, the power of sin and death is gone. It's broken. And you can start a walk of eternal walking out that liberty that he gave you. But I can tell you now, church, heaven is not coming down to do the praise. Heaven is waiting for the church to do the praise. Heaven is waiting for liberated Christians to celebrate on planet Earth what it means to be liberated. The Bible is full of, do you know the Old Testament has more references to dancing than prayer? Do you know why? Because dance to the Jew meant liberty, liberation, not in bondage. And it seems to me the hardest thing for the church to do is dance. Now, if you're 90, you might not bounce all over the place. If you've got a bit aching, your joints are still coming under the truth, which is that you're healed, you may not want to spring around like a spring chicken. But most of the church should be able to move and celebrate in some way and show joy. Is that true? You want to affect your community? You'll affect your community by the changing and cleansing of the spiritual realm through praise. But I don't know anyone who's unsaved that wants to come to a morgue. Why would somebody in death want to come to a place of death? They want to come to a place of life, don't they? Darkness is dispersed by light. Death is dispersed by life. And you are filled with life and you're filled with light. You are the light of the world, the hope of the generations. Jesus is in you. You have the life of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Nothing is impossible to you if you believe. There is no chain. The decision is yours. You can come out and walk in that liberty because he's not coming in. He stands outside and says, come on out. He's willing, but you've got to want of your barrier. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your presence and your anointing that breaks every yoke. Thank you that your truth disperses every lie. In Jesus' mighty name this morning. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you this morning, if you're not filled, can I do this? If you're not filled with the Spirit and you're not released in the things of the Spirit, would you come forward right now, this morning? I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to lay hands and guys can come and help as well. If you're not free in the things of the Spirit, come forward. If you're sick in your body, come forward. If there are things from your past that you still struggle with that you can't get free of, come forward this morning. Because when we touch you and lay hands on you, Luke chapter 4, 17 and 18 is going to start working. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon you to set you free. Anyone? Are you ready? Come forward. Line up. Just line up. Hallelujah. Kiri amasun turamok yete. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I'd like you to do something right now. Jesus had no barrier with the Samaritan woman. If you hold unforgiveness towards anyone, past or present, can't be future, thank God, if it's in the past or the present, forgive them right now. Just whisper their name and say, Father, I forgive this person. You have to. Otherwise, you block the move of the Spirit. How can he move through you when you won't release his love to others? So forgive. You can't answer prayers if there's unforgiveness. So forgive. Forgive yourself. Forgive the other person. And now tell him, Lord, I want a fresh drink. I want that spring of living water. Go on, you're receiving it. Receive the spring of living water in Jesus' name. Do you want to start that end? Jesus' name. There you go. Receive. Receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it. Kiria.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I'm gonna say I've forgiven. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness. Goodness of God.
is running after, he's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
Your goodness,
your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna see of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness
of God. All my life.
And all my life you have.
Your goodness is
running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after. Oh, your goodness, Lord. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. All my life, all my life. And all my the goodness of God. Yes, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
On, Chris? Yeah, thank you. Hey guys, look, this doesn't stop. So there'll be teas and coffees being served. Pray for one another if you want to be prayed for. If you want to be prayed for again, we'll be around to pray for you. But God just wants to set everyone free. He wants to walk into that place where you're not, you haven't got any bondages, you haven't got any chains, you haven't got any shackles, as we prayed earlier. So just go and see someone, pray with somebody, grab a coffee, and just go and pray with somebody and speak to somebody. Have a great week. Bless you all.